Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go over to the defense. Reddington's defense never argued Lindsay didn't kill her children. It argued she couldn't have stopped herself. That the medications and the system that prescribed them broke her brain before she ever walked into that basement. And the case played out inside the courtroom and obviously has touched millions of people, judging by everyone's reactions. But how did the defense do with the jury at the end of the day? That's what we're breaking down. Defense attorney extraordinaire and host of Defense Diaries, Bob Mata, is with us from Massachusetts, where he's been in the courtroom every day. And Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The defense, if you've been following Bob, you've seen the fanfare, because my God, it's all called for with Reddington. Holy crap. You said early on to me, like in a text, it's like watching Matlock in real life or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, my God, this guy, this is how you do it. You were in the courtroom. Give me your thoughts on how he did with the jury. Obviously, we know how it read out here to a lot of people of a certain, you know, mindset on this. But how did it land in there? That's what really matters.
As always with him in particular, I mean, they're paying rapt attention. You know, the guy can command a room.
Yeah.
He's a fabulous storyteller. You know, he's like, he's just got that gift of being able to have jurors want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not he's convincing all of them as to what he's saying is a different question altogether, but it's never a matter of like, this guy makes me want to fucking go to sleep. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching him. He's entertaining. He's passionate. He's knowledgeable about the facts of the case. Like all those things exist when you're watching him. And, you know, I thought his closing was powerful. You know, it was a little, if I were to give a critique, it was a little scattershot. You know, he would kind of bounce around.
Yeah, it's what Todd was saying too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but look, I too am a guy who does not read from a script when I'm doing a closing. You know, and what happens when you're giving a lengthy closing is shit pops into your head as you're speaking. right? So, and it's not winging it because he's been thinking about this closing forever. Yeah. But, you know, the first rule that my father gave me, who was a defense attorney, trial attorney, is like never read from a piece of paper at trial, ever. You know, so I've taken that and lived by that my entire life in terms of practicing law. And Ruddington is an old school guy who lives and dies by that. And so, you know, he had his concepts, his overarching concepts. He had the five or six things that he wanted to hit specifically in terms of contradictions that were made by Commonwealth during their case. Obviously, the bans, the exercise bans not being knotted, you know, all the different things that he felt that they were disingenuous about, that they were trying to manipulate the jury about. He really kind of focused on that, focused less on the experts and, mm-hmm. and the criminal responsibility in terms of kind of arguing that to the jury, you know, and it's easy to sit here and armchair quarterback, you know, would if I had been able to have an earpiece in his ear and a little microphone sitting in a back room, I would have been like, hey man, this is the time you gotta drive home the concept of psychosis and don't be married to just postpartum psychosis. Right. Allow for the jury to think about psychosis that was brought on maybe by the medications, that was a combination of the fact that she had stopped breastfeeding in October, that she's on this, you know, polypharmaceutical cocktail for 4 months. You know, was her brain fried early on from the Zoloft? Leave yourself the ability to be able to give the jury multiple things to hang their hat on in terms of the mental illness. Because one thing that was taken off the table by the prosecutors in their opening and, well, not by their opening, but in their closing was the fact that there's no dispute that she had a mental disease or defect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We all are in agreement with that.
Yep.
What we're suggesting is she was bipolar too, that she was well within her faculties, that the evidence that we have in terms of the Google searching and, you know, the planning, that just shows us that she knew right from wrong, that the planning in and of itself was to evade getting caught, not by the law enforcement initially, but by her husband. So they're dying on that hill. I thought Red addressed it somewhat, because that can play both ways. But it was almost a little bit like an afterthought, wherein kind of mid-closing argument, Ruddington says, you know, in the Google searches, you know, she's not trying to find out how long he's going to be gone because she wants him away. She's trying to Google how long he's going to be gone for how quickly he's going to get back.
I thought that was really good.
Which is the counter-argument, right?
Yeah. And Bob, so my question on that, Bob, I just finished up your amazing series on Buried on the Gacy trial, and I listened to your dad's opening statement, which highlights this so articulately. And that's where my question comes from, where what you're both doing in the opening, but even more so in the closing, is you're reminding the jury that this is not an emotional case. You have to weigh the facts, data, and details. And when, just as you presented there, you saw a bit of a dichotomy between the prosecution and then the defense, because Reddington clearly, whether by intention or not, he's an emotional guy about this. And so he was evoking emotion. I mean, I got teary-eyed listening to him pulling up the photos of the kids. But you're in the courtroom watching the jury. Did you think that would land better than a more pragmatic approach to it? Or do you think that was effective for him? Oh, we lost Bob. That was a good question.
That was a good question.
I couldn't repeat it. Well, Tony, I'll ask you the same thing. You watched it too. And that's the way Bob's dad laid it out, is when you're doing the closing, and Bob just laid it out, when you're doing the closing and the opening, you want to remind the jury that these decisions are not made emotionally. They're based on the facts, data, and details, and the evidence as presented by the court, during the court, by the prosecution and the defense. And to not put your emotion into it, yet clearly Reddington was very emotional all throughout this, because he's so vested so totally in Lindsay and what she went through, and it came through in the defense, you know, in his final closing. I thought it was compelling, but is that compelling for us, the audience, good? But when the jury gets their instructions and told not to listen or pay attention to that, my question is, what do you think the jury saw and how do you think it'll resonate?
I mean, the jury gets instructions, but everybody's human. You know, there's nobody's going to dehumanize anyone through instruction. And the more human
Andy's back.
Anyone can be, I think, in that sort of a setting and making a true emotional connection with a juror, you know, the more impactful they're going to be, even if, you know, that those elements, you know, are supposed to be kind of stripped out of it. Okay, Bob,
did you hear what
turn.
I said, Bob?
No. When they turn off. When it turns off, it turns off the Skylink.
Yes, yes, no, it will. So I can summarize the question really quick. So your dad taught us very well in the Gacy Files. I listened to his opening statement because, you know, you didn't do his closing, you did the closing of the prosecution. Great, great, instructive series to watch on his podcast, Buried. And Buried. So I know, and you just went through it, the jury's instructed to not bring emotions into it. Watch, you know, pay attention to data, details, the evidence as presented, and make your assessment based on that. And Reddington was very clearly much more passionate about what he was doing. And the prosecution's delivery and closing, even though it was like a myriad of fishing expeditions, it looked like, then they followed their own testimony from their own people without actually coming up with supporting their original theory, I should say. So how do you think, because you were in the courtroom watching, how do you think it landed with this jury? Because every jury's got a different vibe to them, I'll say.
It's really hard to tell. So let me give you the breakdown. So they selected, it's ultimately they landed, which I'm sure you guys have run into this info, but it's 9 women, 3 men were picked out of the 18 as the deliberating jurors. The 2 youngest female jurors, who I was guessing were late 20s to mid 30s, were not included. So they didn't make it onto the jury, which I don't, that's a tough one for me because I, like, again, you know, you have to look at social media. As much as we may disagree with some folks in chat,
sure,
they have a right to their opinion, you know, and there's going to be people on that jury that share the opinion. There is not a chance in hell that they got 18 people who none of which are of the mindset, I don't really care if she was psychotic.
Yeah.
I don't really care if she had a mental defect or disease. Yeah. She killed her kids. In this country, when you kill your children, you go to prison. And right. If it was available, we'd execute her. You know what I mean? Like, those people are going to exist on the jury. So in terms of whether or not Red's able to swing them, I'm going to guess no. You know, it's like, have you
and
ever,
that's, yeah, that's where we end up hung.
Ever changed anybody's mind online ever, ever?
No. When you're dug in.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm pulling this up because I was texting yesterday with Coffendaffer because I said, can I move you to Monday so we can get you in here, Bob, today from Massachusetts? So she
I've been missing you guys, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
we've been following you. We've been watching you in court every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said, you know, I think everybody's mad at me anyway. And I said, you know, I think it's you know, because we have differing opinions on this, very differing opinions.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I said, where do you think it is divided right now? Like 50-50? And she said, I'll do a poll. So here's the poll that where it sits right now, over 2,000 votes. And this is on Koff's Facebook.
With her followers.
Yes, with her followers.
Right.
But there's plenty of people on Koff's Facebook that don't like her.
We like to call them hate watchers.
Yeah. I want to say, I mean, honestly, I think it's a kind of a fairly balanced group, honestly, of like and dislike of her opinion on her Twitter. Do you believe Lindsay had a psychotic break? 37% yes, 52% no, 2% I don't follow. But here's where you're talking about, Bob. I don't think it matters, 9%.
Right.
And that's where I think this lives, is right there. I don't think it matters. Because we can debate all of it, you know, and there's plenty of people who can understand the psychology of it and still be like, I don't care. I don't care.
It's as simple as that, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the scene from, you know, Good Will Hunting. You know, he's sitting in court. He's like, and the judge is like, you hit a cop, you're going in. You know, here people are going to be saying, look, I don't give a shit what was going on with her. She killed her own children, you know, and like in the most personal way possible.
And I understand,
you know, in terms of strangling. And I get it. I understand it. I can see that people that feel so adamantly about that, that are of the mindset that there's, it doesn't matter if because it's really a fundamental way of thinking about it in terms of, all right, as a society, are we going to get to the point where we acknowledge that there are situations with mental illness wherein people literally do not have control over their mind and or their faculties? And if we can get the majority of the country, because that's a fact, that's a real thing, that is not up for debate. So the debate then switches to, what are we going to do with it? Can we, as a society, give people a pass, even though that's not what's happening here?
Right.
Lindsay Clancy, if she's found not guilty by way of lack of criminal responsibility, isn't getting a pass. She's going to be institutionalized. Do I think that there could be a day 20 years down the road where she does not want to end her own life? Maybe. But she's not there now. We know. And it's 3.5 years after the fact. They have her on one-on-one. There is somebody watching her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because she is a threat to kill herself. So, you know, I mean, and that's part of it. If she's found not guilty, she's not rolling out of the courtroom. You know what I mean? She's just not. She's going to be in a hospital. And, you know, like, and Sue, I hear you. Throw her in Gen Pop. And I hear everybody that's saying that. But, like, that's just, you're electing to ignore a problem that is running rampant in this country, which is mental illness. If you can't be online, and I'm talking about on your socials, scrolling through your reels or your TikToks or whatever the, you know, your choice of social media platform is, and you just watch insane shit after insane shit after from all corners of the country, and there's no shortage of it. Our country is teeming with mental illness, teeming with it. And if we don't get in front of it and acknowledge that this is a real fucking problem, and we need to figure out how to handle it in a way that's going to allow us to continue as a functioning society, then we're doomed. These things, I don't know what's causing it. I can't imagine the amount of invisible shit rays, whether it's sound waves, well, all the shit. I once saw a photograph of where, like, and I don't know what they were able to use to actually capture the invisible shit that we walk through in an urban area. And it looks like those laser traps or laser things that they have to guard fucking priceless art. You know what I'm talking
about? Like it's like the spectrum. You can see the spectrum of all of the.
I don't know what's causing it. I really don't know what's causing it, but it's right there for all of us to see with our own eyes.
Yeah.
And it's not getting better. And, you know, and that's without even bringing the conversation to what this is really germane about in this trial, which is the concept that there's a document or a book, rather, that is considered to be a Bible for psychiatrists and psychologists in terms of trying to diagnose what type of disorder somebody has. And they're ignoring completely ignoring as a standalone the concept of postpartum depression, which is different than regular depression because you're talking about massive hormonal swings. Yeah. You know, it's a
but only if it's 4 weeks, Bob. It's only got to be 4 weeks. If it's outside four weeks, it's not in DSM. It's not counted. Because people can't hold two truths at the same time. That's why I think a lot of people are having a hard time with two, because you can't hold one truth of her killing her kids, which is a hardcore truth. No one's denying that. Yeah. And the truth that she had something seriously mental wrong with her that caused her to do that. Because I know that some of the people in here, the fear is if we let this one go, the floodgates are open, man. That's it's chaos and mayhem.
I tell you what, they're already open, kids. They're already open.
Oh, yeah.
It's time that we get in front of it and stop pretending that we're shocked every time horrible things go down. It's like, yeah, and here's how we got here. Let's get in front of that. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue our conversation.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
All right, we're going to get into it again today as we await the jury's decision in the Lindsay Clancy case. As we are sitting here on Monday morning, Lindsay Clancy jury started deliberating. Nine women, three men, five verdict options. Both sides agree she killed Cora Dawson and Callan. That is not up for debate, despite what you may be understanding if you're just watching TikTok. Patrick's not an option. The fight is whether she understood what she was doing. That's what we're going to be getting into. We're going to talk about the prosecution's case and how that landed, how the defense cases landed from various perspectives and what is going on as we move ahead. Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, retired FBI special agent, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and masterclass extraordinaire instructor. Links, by the way, in the description.
Nice.
Let's start with this. Sprague's theory is that Clancy couldn't end her own life while her children were alive, that they were basically the protective factor, and so she removed them. This is part of the psychotic thinking, if you will, where true north is truly pointing southwest, and she's not aware that this sort of thinking is crazy. Not rage, not psychosis, a decision. Let's talk about that, because the bar is not necessarily a specific diagnosis of psychosis. It's not having essentially your wits about you to understand right from wrong. Whatever that is that's going on in your mind is what it is. But arriving to that decision, a decision itself, do you buy that? And doesn't that prove psychosis or something very much like it, even if it's not that exact word, Jen?
I don't buy it. I don't want a free sample of it. I don't believe it. Look, this is the problem. I can't ignore the facts. I cannot ignore the facts of what she did to set up her opportunity to take her children's lives. I just can't. I can't ignore the fact she got her husband out of the house. She sent him to a specific place. She sent him to another place. She mapped it all out. She knew the time frames. There is no chance I can get over the premeditation in this case to say the voices that, by the way, only lasted 18 minutes somehow made her do this. I can't get it. I can't go there.
It's interesting, Jen, because, you know, when I was listening to, and for everyone that's watching, and everyone knows that, you know, Jen and us, 180s on the thoughtfulness of her before this. And so, but again, we're engaging it in a really thoughtful way, which I enjoy on this, even though it's surrounding a horrendous loss of three lives. And so that isn't lost on any of us, is that it's all about the three lives that were lost. It's just talking about the culpability of her being criminally responsible for it or not. And so on that, Jen, it was interesting listening to Reddington's closing statement, where he actually had a different optic and context, which I hadn't really locked onto before, about what you just said. You say, and granted, I'm on the side of arguing that you can do all that planning in a psychotic break and for that amount of time. Now, granted, I saw your post on it. Yes, it's a slim amount of time, and I am not a medical expert on this by any stretch of imagination. I just watched all the testimony and only the people that testified, because, again, that is when we're talking about justice, that's where justice is. Justice is in the process, in the system. And for my optic, I think it's been served well so far, because it's the process, right? But what happened was Reddington gave this optic saying that she wasn't checking all these things and planning it out to get him out of the house. She did it to check how fast he's going to be back to the house, because she didn't want to be without him, which is a completely different optic, which was... So for me, I now have two things that I'm holding in my mind. I'm holding the fact that I thought originally and agreed from, again, my understanding of what was presented, that this was a psychotic break for that period of time because of all these mental health issues that were coming up. And now every single clinician that testified, both sides agreed that she was in a severe mental crisis. Some said it was she had criminal responsibility for it, and some on the defense side didn't. But again, a lot of overlap there. But again, adding that new dimension to it, as his take for the closing was very interesting, saying that actually wasn't her trying to get him out. It was actually her planning how fast can I get him back.
Okay.
But you don't believe. So I want to add more one thing. So I'm so sorry.
No problem.
From what you've said and what you've said the entire time, you don't believe, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, you don't believe her and you don't believe anyone that testified that she is truthful. She's been tested for MI, the test saying that she is got a lot of veracity, that she's never lied in the past. The family members that agree with it, and all the psychologists also said that she was forthright. If nothing else, she minimized. And so you don't believe any of that?
No, that's way too blanketed for
okay.
sure.
Correct.
I mean, I would have to go, you know, very much point by point. But no, that definitely is not my blanket statement. But back to what you said about Reddington, this is why that's baloney, in my opinion. It's because if you give me the proof where she's done that before, if I'm the defense attorney and that's anywhere near truthfulness, I would have put up I would have shown other instances. I would have said, see, we have her cellular footprint here. Look, she did this all the time when he left on this and this, and he tracked and took down. We didn't see any of that because it didn't exist, because this is the time she did it, and she did it when she decided to murder her kids.
Yeah, fair point. So I'll go back to my original then.
I guess, is it? I mean, I do wonder, like, did they look to see if this is a pattern for her on that? Because they would be looking at an area that wasn't part of a crime. I mean, could that be overlooked? Could that be something they never went back and thought, hey, does she do this every time he leaves the house? I don't know how frequently he left the house.
Not with a guy like Reddington, in my opinion. I mean, okay. For all of his, you know, what I might not like about him, I think he's a very savvy attorney.
Sure.
I think he's very well spoken, all of that. I think he knows how to defend. And if he had that nugget, oh my gosh. And with all the people helping and the millions of dollars that have been raised in this thing, he would be all over it.
Yeah, good counterpoint to it. I agree.
So you're very much of the opinion that she, because I'm trying to understand the premeditation here. The premeditation, from what I'm understanding of all this, is her looking up the distance to the store, the restaurant. Is that the extent of it? I mean, is there more premeditation here that I'm missing of her planning this big thing? I'm literally asking, am I missing something here that you're seeing, Jen, where she's been planning this for a long period of time, more so than just like right before she says, you know, go pick this up. Here's, you know, the info on the phone.
Like days or weeks or,
yeah.
I mean, like how far in front of the event?
Where is this premeditation that talking about that I seem to be missing other than that? I know that technically qualifies as premeditation. It just doesn't have a lot of, you know, anchoring to it, if you will, beyond just she looked it up right there.
Or we've seen more. This is a good way to put it.
It's kind of a lot when you really track, and I have this really great rundown, point by point, minute by minute rundown of every text message, the calls, adding in the Pedialax, communication about exactly, I want a bowl, what are you going to get? All of that that elongated the amount of time and showed the preparation. So you asked, though, which I think is such a great question, how long do I think she premeditated? Was this weeks? Was this months? I think, and I wrote this and some people hated it. I should have put my disclaimer, obviously, at the top, although I've done this on every case and now all of a sudden people notice it. But the disclaimer about what I think was going through her head, I think it was that day. I think that was when, you know, straw that broke the camel's back and the relief set in and the premeditation started. And that's when I think it happened.
That's a fascinating statement you just made, Jen. So you think that the premeditation started that day, and you just said the straw that broke the camel's back. So the straw for me that broke the camel's back and on the side of that not criminal responsibility is the fact that that everything led up to the psychotic break where she had the command hallucination. For you, for the fact that she was totally witting and conscious of what she's doing is making a choice to this, what do you think was a straw that broke her pack? Because I think it was, psychologically, medically induced, you know, from chemical imbalances and all the other psychosis going on. What for you was a straw that broke her back that caused that switch to go off that said, I'm going to kill my kids now. I'm very witting of it.
Well, so when you look at everything leading up to it, have you guys read things like her posts on Facebook, her issues with Dawson that was building up? Do you guys remember? And I'm sure you do. I'm not saying that you don't. Right. We all watch this trial. But the looking closely back at what Patrick said about her struggling and things seemingly getting worse as the approach of her returning to work was happening, about how she wanted to harm the children. And I think they downplayed it, but at least they admitted, the mother and Patrick, that she said she wanted to harm the children. As I said, I really think this is a downplay. And I think that built up. This is not unlike other cases where people want to kill their children. It really just isn't. I know people say it is because they are putting this PPP on it. You know, one of the cases that, and I don't think we discussed it, did we talk about the lady from Maine yet?
The lady from Maine. Which one?
You gotta look at her. 1950s, late 1950s. I'm sorry, her name does.
Yeah, I saw something about you posted something about it the other day, and I looked. I don't recall a lot of details, but briefly.
It's a very interesting case because it's a case about a woman with children approximately these same ages, and she drowned her three children, and ultimately she was declared insane, not criminally liable, and goes to a mental institution. She's in the mental institution for 5 years. Her husband stays by her side on all of this, asks for her to be released, does the legal proper paperwork. They said, listen, she's all better. They let her out. She has three more children, and she kills all three of them. And that is precisely my point on this, is women do this, they repeat it, they don't get over it. That's why I think Andrea Yates has said, listen, keep me here. There is no chance I can handle having kids. And I guess she thinks she might. She's unsafe. And it's because they know. They absolutely know what they're doing. This isn't some sort of blackout. This isn't something they can't help. Remember, she was texting and communicating in the middle of the murders.
And as described from the mental health experts there, psychosis isn't a blackout, though.
Psychosis isn't anything you're describing.
Well, you say it's nothing I'm describing. I know. And listen, I thought the experts were all very interesting in their own rights. I learned a lot in different ways in a general aspect. But what I could never overcome, and I'm seeing it now more online, is that they just, as I said at the beginning, to me, they are just a check mark off. They don't help the case. They don't hurt the case. And this happens a lot with experts, by the way.
Right. They cancel each other out.
jurors come back and say they're totally canceled. And that's what in social media people are saying. I canceled them out early because I cannot take somebody's point of view that wasn't treating her, interviewing her, understanding her at the time. And I certainly can't take this whole medication thing, especially now that they all named off these same medications that they named off before, plus Wellbutrin. It's so ridiculous. Right.
And so to me, I agree. And, you know, and Bob Mott even covered it years ago when, again, I'll keep, you know, touting his great Gacy case in Buried, because the same thing there. His dad was going for not guilty by reason of insanity with a horrendous serial killer. And talking about the difficulty of bringing experts on there, because all in essence they cancel each other out. But to me, that also opened your mind to the possibility of it could be this, but they cancel each other out. That's why from the very get-go for me on this case has been the family, friends, colleagues, workers, her life arc and their life arc, the healthy relationship. Because I was talking to Todd and Tony before this as well, and to everyone else. If it hadn't been for them, I mean, so here's my thought experiment. They're the ones that keep me in the camp of this was such a massive deviation. And I used this analogy the other day. Someone said she's a monster. And I said, well, there was a monster in there, but that wasn't the Lindsay monster, because something else entered there because a monster did those things. And that's where the psychosis or the mental illness comes in. Because without those people saying all those things, standing by your side, and this isn't just your average people staying this. I look into not just the relationship they have with Lindsay, but the relationship they have with each other, the types of lives they leave. I mean, these are good, strong, healthy people with no deviations, no wobbles. I've never seen, so I can't even come close to comparing the other case we've covered to this, because there's not that circle of people around her that are the same. If any of them, if there had been a few people in that circle that had leakage on issues, strife, challenges, bad relationships, any wobbles in there like this, my outlook on this might be very, very different, because again, if you're going to go down the road that experts cancel each other out, what are you left with? What's the jury left with? They're left with a testimony of all these people. You know, all the people the prosecution brought up were the ones that sided with her and how healthy she was and how this was so out of the norm. And that's why the statute, this is why this was brought in the first, back in London, you know, the UK many, many years ago in the 1800s, when it first got codified, it got brought into the United States and our criminal justice system, Massachusetts, in the 50s into the 60s, got updated. John Hinckley's case in the 80s updated even further, actually reduced it, made it lower. I mean, I've done so much research understanding the statute, but again, this is a system working, but that's how I've seen this. And when you cancel out the experts and you go down the road of what are you left with, that's why I see it.
And I just think there's so much left that doesn't have an agenda, that doesn't have anything other than the facts. And that is what we can see in the digital footprint. And that's what people are seemingly for some reason not discussing right here. We need to discuss the facts. The opinions are interesting, but they have a lot of agenda. Patrick's agenda, they are in bed together, by the way. They have that huge lawsuit that nobody wants to talk about against the healthcare providers. That puts them as needing to have the same agenda, the same voice put forth. They have lot of money to
or get. They have a very legitimate case against failed healthcare providers.
I'm just saying,
and not necessarily an agenda, but more so a shared mission of exposing bullshit,
of retribution against horrible care and kill their kids. Right?
I mean, it's not everything is like let's go make this a fucking payday. It's more like we're gonna expose the shit out of this, and if financially that's how a civil case works. It's not like and a big fuck you at the end of the day on a big postcard. It's money.
Is about money, though. It all is. When you set up a GoFundMe right away,
his friend did. He didn't set that up himself. That was nobody directly with the family did that.
They know they are the receiver of the money. I know. They have to check in with you. Is this
sure? The family didn't set it up, though. I just think factually that's important. And I mean, speaking of facts, too, Constance Fisher had paranoid schizophrenia, a chronic lifelong condition. Lindsay Clancy's defense is postpartum psychosis. That's an acute condition tied to postpartum, the period that resolves with treatment. Two different diagnoses. Fisher was released in 59 and under 1950s psychiatric standards, before modern antipsychotics, before structured monitoring, before anything resembling the system that exists today. So using the Eisenhower era, you know, psychiatry to predict the 2026 outcome, or really putting them in the same basket, is not honest, because they're not. It's not the same diagnosis. It's like saying, oh, well, you died of the flu. Well, let's compare rabies. Like, that's not the same thing.
Oh, but Tony, we have been comparing Andrea Yates this whole time. And Andrea Yates was also diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Sure.
And actually... No, yeah.
I know, but you brought her up. So I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. You brought up.
Also, everybody's upset about the drug she's been given in this modern era, right? With modern medicine. Everybody's upset about that. So what does it matter whether
they're not upset at the drug she's been given. They're upset at the irresponsible way at which they were doled out to her. That's the problem. The drugs aren't the problem. It's one provider not knowing what the other one is giving the other, and the dosages and getting on and off. That's the issue. It's not the drugs themselves.
She was physician shopping and she was pharma shopping. She filled 13 medications. She's a nurse. And by the way, I'll reiterate, they still recited off the same drugs. I was sitting there listening going, oh my gosh, she's on all of that?
It was 30 prescriptions. So there were 13 different medications in the course of the time. But it was up and down, up and down. So, I mean, the way that works, essentially, I've said it 1,000 times. Okay, so you get prescribed 10 milligrams of X drug. Okay, the next time you're going, I don't like this, or maybe we should go up, maybe we should go down. Okay, well, you already got that script for 30 pills. Okay, well, you want to go to the next one to 15 milligrams? I'm just throwing random numbers out here because this is how it works. 15, okay, great. You took 7 of the ones in that jar that were 30. Okay, so you got 23 left, and that's now a jar that's not being touched. See, she's not taking those meds. No, she was prescribed the next dose, up or down, and then she started taking those. And then she was prescribed the next dose, up or down there. And so then you have those empty bottle after empty bottle because the next dosage gets prescribed at 30 or 90-day intervals. So, yes, you're going to have a lot of empty bottles. That's just how the math works. It's not...
Do you think she followed what she was told or just took a couple here, a couple there?
She was wanting to change it all the time. I mean, that's a fault of
she was changing it as the effects weren't working.
That's her fault. Is anything Lindsay?
It's the medical providers that need to say, we're not just going to fill this shit like Tic Tacs for you.
I'm asking you guys. I have a question for you all right now. Did Lindsay Clancy do anything wrong? Anything in this whole thing, or everything's the provider, everything is somebody else's fault. It's all her husband, her mom, you know what? Everybody's responsible. Did Lindsay Clancy, this is my question, do anything wrong when it came to her own medical care?
Yeah, she went with Dr. Tufts at the very beginning. That was the dumbest friggin' mistake she made. She listened to Tufts. 100%.
She didn't demand better care.
100%. I mean, she listened to the 12-year-old that got up there with 1 month experience outside of being outside of her clinicals,
so and said, "That's what she did wrong."
Yeah, and she, in my estimation, yeah. But is any human being flawless in the system? Yeah. So I think she chose the wrong healthcare providers, and she was trying to work the system. She was working the system. Yeah, she was trying to find someone to fix her. She kept screaming, "Fix me, fix me, fix me!" Everyone kept saying, "You're broken, broken, broken," but no one could come up with a way to fix her. So, when I listened to the testimony, all of it, absolutely every minute of it, what they were doing was she wasn't shopping for drugs, and the way they prescribed it, according to Tufts, was that she was allowed to, she'd make a prescription for a period of time. She would take a couple, and then she was told it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for this to take effect. But what was happening is she'd take the medication. It made her she had less sleep taking medication, so she had to stop it because of the effect it was having on her before it even had a chance to take effect. And so then Tufts would say, all right, I'll prescribe something else. Let's try this. And so they kept switching up her medication based on reports that she's given on the effect it was having on her body. And also the fact that she's battling because she didn't want to be on medication because she's afraid of being addicted to medication. And she also was breastfeeding her youngest that she wanted to do, but then she couldn't do. I mean, so all these little data points, she wasn't shopping for new drugs. I mean, she's shopping to find something that was actually going to work to get her to sleep. And she's going to she kept going with Tufts throughout this thing, but Tufts wasn't deconflicted and coordinating with everyone because she then go to this person and tell this other person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. This person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. But none of these people are talking back and forth with each other, so that they're prescribing this Tufts. So you see the mess that was happening? So was she making a mistake? I don't know. I don't think so. I think the medical system made a tragic mistake because they weren't...
She's already not in a competent state.
I can't agree with that, though.
I'm stating the testimony.
But that's what happened.
Exactly, I just can't agree that this nurse... Well, no, you're stating part of the testimony, but you're not stating the testimony from the medical provider's view. My whole thing is...
What I miss? Tell me. Fill me in.
Oh, I did. On Tufts? What is her testimony?
She met with her for 13 minutes and actually had the counseling session for 13 minutes. The total session was 30 minutes long, drop down menus.
That is this telemed that was chosen, by the way, by Lindsay Clancy. Get your ass in to somebody.
She
had a nanny. Get your ass in.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
If you're having problems.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
That's what I'm saying. It's Lindsay's choice.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice. That we were in COVID era shit where it was, we're going to do everything via telemed still, if you remember that era.
What? So she started seeing Tufts during the lockdown, so she wasn't able to go in person. And then when actually the lockdowns lifted, Tufts kept seeing her virtually the entire time. Tufts never once met her in person for all the sessions right up until the day before. And that was not a choice that was highlighted by Lindsay.
She
That's
did
how the
see others
works.
In person. She wasn't thinking, she didn't do telemed for everybody. I mean, there were so many different providers here.
There were a lot of different providers.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
Some of this has to be on her shoulders.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue this conversation. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.